Otakuology Podcast with Otaku Mike Engine Graves.
Hey, how's it going? Welcome back to another episode of the Otakuology Podcast. I'm your host, Otaku Mike. With me as always is my heterosexual life partner, Jin Graves.
How does you doing this today, loincloth make my ass look big?
Yes, yes it does.
I'm doing good.
You need a lot of loincloth to cover up that ass, just saying.
Do I? Maybe I'm trying to show part of it to the world.
Maybe. Who knows? Who knows?
But maybe I could be like a TikTok sensation.
Oh no, please don't be a TikTok sensation. Please don't.
We gotta get you some of those pants from TikToks that make your butt look nice.
Like the yoga pants?
Yeah, and see if you can pull them off.
Oh, I'm gonna need some. Yeah, I think I can get some of those yoga pants. That'd be nice. Aren't those like $80 yoga pants though?
Probably.
But
then you just have to be like, look at those cheeks.
But today we are talking about a little OVA called Jungle Day Aiko. I believe that's how you say it. I don't know how exactly you say it. I picked this one for us to watch.
I think you have that wrong, sir. You said that we were watching an OVA. I think you had us watch a few episodes of some light porn, okay?
I mean, it is classified as an OVA. It's a 3-episode OVA from like 1997, I believe it is.
Yeah.
No, 1999, sorry.
I think
it was released in 97, but it didn't come out on VHS till 99. Because it ran from March 26th of 97 to September 26th of 97. So a while it ran for. The genre is classified as comedy magical girl. And I picked this one on random. Because I was like, oh, boobs. Everybody likes boobs, right? We should watch this ridiculous looking anime. And Jin calls me up like when I'm finishing up the anime. And he's like, why are you making me watch softcore porn?
This is true.
I believe that's what your words were.
This is true. No denying that.
Yeah, yeah.
There is a lot of jiggling going on.
A lot of jiggling, a lot of wiggling.
Yeah, there is definitely a lot of, hey, what's that thing that guy's got sticking out from between his legs? I mean, there's plenty of things that are in this that will probably make you question a lot of things.
Oh, I question a lot, especially when I got into the Wikipedia page and saw how old Natsumi is. Just saying. I didn't realize she was like 10, but apparently she's 10 years old.
Jesus.
Yeah. I guess let's start talking about this. We'll go little by episode. Episode 1 starts out with a man in the jungle finding a mysterious idol with some earrings attached to it. He comes home and we find out that this man has a little girl named Natsumi, and he's like an archaeologist, right?
Yeah.
He's an archaeologist and he gives this like idol statue to his daughter.
Yeah, this is one of the things I questioned, because he's an archaeologist, but then they started saying, like, in the show that he was something else, and that was...
He's like an archaeologist slash, like, curator for, like, exhibits or something. I don't remember exactly what he was.
Yeah, they started making some weird innuendos of things.
But she ends up, like, putting on the earrings, and she ends up has a really... really weird dream when she meets this guy named Ahim. And do you want to explain like what Ahim looks like to the people out there?
Big Ahim or little Ahim?
Ahim, not Ango, but Ahim, the guy, the wizard guy, whatever you want to call him. Yeah.
So Ahim is probably like your traditional like African village elder.
With like a big bloated belly.
Yeah, big bloated belly, but like arms and legs and everything else are really skinny.
Yeah.
He has a necklace with skulls on it.
Yep.
And he's got a little bitty belt thingy that's attached to this ginormous cock sheath.
It's not a belt.
Yes, you heard that here. Yes, you heard that here. Cock sheath.
You almost made me spit out my water.
It won't be the first time I make you spit. he's just got this big cock sheet that's sitting there. So the first episode, you're making it through and you're like, what the fuck is that?
And yeah, exactly. I was like, well, who the fuck is he? He's like, he reminds me of like a very like emaciated, like Master Roshi almost, but only perverted Master Roshi is what I really get.
I don't know. He might have been even worse than Master Roshi.
He is worse than Master Roshi, obviously. And I feel like there might have been some cultural appropriation going on with the Ahim or whatever, you know.
I agree.
In his design and his what he did and stuff like that. But he ends up telling Natsumi that she is going to like save the world, and he gives her like this like necklace with a bunch of skulls on it, and she has to fight Ango, which is like this big monstrous demon, like god of
god of darkness
or something like that. And
we don't find out he's the god of trees until he actually gets summoned.
And Ahim is the god of earth, and we find out that Natsumi is supposed to. She's supposed to transform into the god of flowers, if I remember correctly. And so she has this weird, crazy dream, and he ends up doing this really fucking weird dance. Like, and I thought like the dance was going to end there, but we see the dance throughout the entire anime. Like, it gets done in full in the anime. And
this is true. This is one of the things where I have to say it's softcore porn. Because you have these dances that look like they're sex moves and sex positions.
We'll get to the one dance in episode 2. I kind of want to talk about it.
Hey, they were all like that though. Both.
But I don't feel like the Natsumi's was until she got to like the squishy squishy part. And then the end where it looked like she was orgasming. That's where
I think it was all bad.
Okay, well, we'll have to agree to disagree on this, my friend. Because I felt like the Doki Doki whatever dance she did was like, it was weird. It was just weird and awkward.
Hey, buddy, that's like saying like doing the stinky leg or something. Like you can't compare the rest of it, you know?
Okay.
It was all that way.
But she has to defeat this guy called Ango, this monster, to save the world, who was like trapped for like 10,000 years, they say. And she wakes up and she meets this little guy who's on Wikipedia they say he's a pygmy, but I'm not for sure. He looks like a little like jungle boy, and pygmy. Yeah, that's what they say. He's like a pygmy. Because he's like short, he has like war paint on and stuff and whatnot, you know. But this is Ango, or what's left of Ango, I guess. And Ango, he's a really interesting character, I have to say. And doesn't he end up like flooding all of Japan or like wherever the city that they're in? I don't remember what happens like after they meet and she wakes up.
She wakes up and he's like sitting on top of her.
Yeah.
And they're kind of talking about stuff and she finds out who he is. And then, you know, he's the god of the woods, and that him is jealous of him, so to speak.
And all he wants is the good of the jungle.
And yeah, he wants to be in the jungle. And so he goes to the roof and they have kind of this like tearful moment of like, oh, you know, what am I going to do? There's no trees here or anything. Mm-hmm. Da, da, da. And then next day they go over to like one of her like neighbors slash friends that lives in the place. Kind of this rude boy, which I have to say, with this character, I did feel a little seen because he was a little chunky monkey.
What was his name?
Tamora.
Tamora. Oh yeah, yeah, Tamora was a big old perv. Oh, it's Takuma is his name.
Okay.
Yeah, Takuma is his name. I looked it up.
It's probably one of the books I've been reading.
Yeah.
The other way. But yeah. So I mean, just because he was a little chubby and a little pervert, you know, like I felt seen.
Cause he's always like, I saw your underwear. I saw your underwear.
I don't know if he's that bad with her. I mean, but you could tell like he was like older women? Hell yeah.
Yeah. Older and, women.
Him and his dad fought over well meat. He's like, why can't we have it even more? I hate peas.
Yeah.
They went outside to go have an argument about peas. And while they're sitting there or whatever, while it was cooked, this well meat Ongo ate and decided it was delicious and wanted more and summoned a whale from the ocean. And
it was a giant whale.
Whatever place that this was in, he it summoned it with
it blew
all
up.
The water. Yeah, with yeah. all the water, and it basically like submerged like a good chunk of the town.
I think it submerged like all of it.
Yeah.
And so they end up riding on this whale. The Which, military comes in.
I would like to say this is so you can tell like stuff. This is uh-huh. so old that for that to be put into it for everybody eating whale meat and to have whale hunting as yeah. it's looked down upon today. You can tell like this was a cultural piece back in the day.
It definitely was. It definitely was. But like I was saying, the military comes in as they're riding on this whale and they're fighting the whale, trying to figure out what's going on. And May, or not her name's, the person he turns into is May or Mai. I believe it's May. Is it May or Mai? I can't remember.
I think it's Mai because M-I-I.
It's Mai. It's Mai. But in the dub, they pronounce it as May. Natsumi ends up turning into Mai. And she's like this very buxom, tan skinned with blonde hair. And she looks like she's busting out of her top. And she's wearing like, looks like she's wearing like a giant flower around her waist for like a skirt. Yeah. Mai is something else. I don't think she's like Ikin levels bad of like character design, but like, I mean, I don't know. What did you think of Mai?
I mean, for that time period, I mean, she was, you know.
Fine.
They were huge.
They were huge.
That's all I can say. They were
huge. I'm surprised she didn't, like, have, like, a nip slip or something, you know?
You know, they couldn't do it at the time. Now, I am surprised, like, every movement that they did, like, really, yes. The artist that made her, like, it was, like, what a regular boob would have done if it would have, like, some girl would have just jumped and you would have seen, like, a quick, like, bounce.
Yeah.
Mai would have been, like, she jumped and then they're still going. You know,
she's like, I'm gonna, the animator was like, I'm gonna jiggle the shit out of these boobs.
Yes, yes, you know? Yes. But and it adds an even weirder texture to it, knowing like the voice actor is like Ed from Cowboy Bebop.
Yes,
I'm like, that too. I know this voice actor, and I don't know if these match up so well.
I mean, I thought she did a fine job as Mai. Like, I thought she had a very decent range. I mean, she did use the Edward voice kind of when she was Natsumi. But, yeah. I mean, I felt like there was a good distinction between the two voices, in my personal opinion. But they end up fighting, or sort of fighting the military, winning. And I think the whale goes into outer space. I'm not for sure exactly what happened to the whale. The whale got magically transported somewhere?
I don't know. That's a big question I have, too. And there's only one thing that I'm confused about. They did hit this whale, and it did fly up. But then, as it's what we saw of it, seeming like it flew away, I don't know if it was getting torn up or what.
Yeah.
You know, it like if it actually died. And the only thing that really makes you question that part is, whenever she turns back and they're going back inside of her house, her mom's like, oh, guess what we're having tonight? Well, it fell out of the sky. And you're like, when did that happen?
Yeah.
And I never saw them attack this well.
Well, they did attack it. They like shot it or something hit it. And like a chunk of it like came off. Like they do like a quick like little recap.
I don't remember seeing this.
Yeah. It's like quick and you miss it type of thing. And, Natsumi's kind of like, oh no, not whale kind of thing, you know. But we move on from that to episode 2. In episode 2, she's going with her friends, Nami and what was his name?
The boy.
Takuma is his name. They go to the exhibit that Natsumi's dad is putting together from like all the stuff that he's found in like New Guinea, I believe it is. And we find out that Nami gets possessed by Rongo, and Rongo is the fiance of Ango. And she is the water goddess or whatever. Can we talk about Nami's transformation, air humping she does?
You already said we were going to talk about this.
I know. I want to talk about this. When we see her transform for like the first time or whatever it is, you know, it is very uncomfortable.
I don't know if we can talk about this.
I mean, she's like dry humping the air, and then you see like the camera like zooms down, and like a puddle of water starts to form. Where is that puddle of water coming from?
I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be sweat, but
is it?
I agree with you, because when you're really looking at it, it all looks like a big like straddling sexual pose with nothing there.
It looks like she's trying to be on top of the invisible man, and she's like fucking the invisible man right now.
Yeah, and then you know, like an orgasm or something, you know, because then it just keeps forming in a puddle, and then you finally there's enough there where it starts like swirling like a whirlpool, and you're like, what am I watching?
I know exactly. And there's also the like weird, I don't want to say like weird minor subplot of Natsumi being on her period. Did you catch that?
I didn't.
You didn't? Okay, because they bring it up like a couple times within episode 2. Where there's one part where she's like not feeling well. She's holding her stomach and she beats up on her guy friend. He's like, oh, are you on your... She's like, oh, man, I'm on my period. And he's like, what's a period? Can you eat it? You know? And then when she's at the...
That's weird for that to be even said, though, whenever you said that these characters are like 10 years old.
Yeah, she's 10. She's 10. But I mean, sometimes you can start your period at 10, I think. I don't know. That's from what I heard.
I don't know.
And then another time where she's like changing like her period product, whatever you want to call it, her pad or tampon in the bathroom, and Ongo shows up and he's like, "Hey, what are you doing?" And she's like, "Oh, I can never have any privacy anymore. You know, I'm dealing with, it's like, it's so hard to be a girl." You know, that's what she says like a couple times throughout this episode. And I'm like, why even throw this in to the episode? It's so out of left field.
There are a lot of things thrown in.
True.
Which at the beginning of this episode, you know, there was something, and as long as it wasn't something real, then you really didn't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
But we do have where the neighbor boy or whatever is reading the newspaper and talking about how Mai is like the most beautiful girl he's ever seen, and da da da. And then he's staring so hard that there's another point where it like pans away and then it comes back. And you're sitting there and you're like, what's wrong with his eyeballs? And they're nipples.
Yes.
His pupils are nipples. And you're like, what in the hell? And then somebody yells at him and he turns sideways and the white parts of his eyes are sticking so far out. It's a pair of boobs. And you're like, good God.
Yeah. Ahem does that too, kind of. Or his eyes bug out like tits, you know?
God. The weird thing is, though, Ahim, his character reminds me of in Inuyasha, you know, the little old man that rides the buffalo.
Yeah.
And, I mean, kind of looks pretty close to the same. Both have buggy eyes and skinny as all get out, you know, all this other stuff. But that's pretty much on him with a different shade on him and no hair.
And naked. Was he naked too? Because Ahem was practically naked.
No, the other guy wears a brown robe.
Yeah, okay.
But he's the blacksmith that works on the Tensaiga. The Tensaiga. But I mean, that's kind of what the character design looked close like. Which, I mean, I do have to say that I did really like how, like, more so the anime style, like, growing up, this did really seem, like, on key with, like, that anime style.
Oh, like in the 90s?
Yeah.
Yeah, it did. It's definitely, like, a product of its time, like, anime-wise. Like, the animation itself isn't bad whatsoever. I feel like it's decently animated for an OVA. You know, OVA does, they do get like more budgets and stuff like that. Even like looking at like the anime studio, I forget what the anime studio is called, but I before we started, I went and looked at like stuff they did, and it was all like raunchy comedies and stuff like that, you know. So it was kind of up their wheelhouse of like stuff to do and animate and whatnot.
Oh, so we're just going to start doing raunchy comedies?
I guess. I don't know. We'll have to see. I don't know if we'll do them all the time, you know.
That seems, I mean, it does seem like your wheelhouse.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I have watched a lot of raunchy comedies. But, I mean, I'm open to covering all different kinds of stuff. This one just caught my eye because, like, I remember always seeing it, like, when I would go rent anime. But I never rent.
You were like, boobs.
I was like, boobs. Yes. And I was like, gracious. Boobs make the world better. They prevent wars. You know, they stop arguments from happening. Just bam. You having a bad day? Boobs. There you go. You know.
I think I'm going to have to ask your lover about this.
Boobs solve every problem. She knows my stance on boobs, okay?
Whenever he's having a bad day, I send him a picture of the boobs. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, boobs make everything better, you know? But, so...
Well, if anybody out there listening wants to send somebody, I had a bad day today, so... I'm joking. I'm totally joking.
No, he's not.
You know the worst thing? I feel like you'd send me a picture.
I'll send you a picture of my tits.
You'd be like, here you go, buddy. I'll be like, nope, that's not what I needed. Does this look like a cue to you?
Christ. But anyway, let's get back to what we were talking about, you know. So, like, so Anga, no, so
into the third episode.
No, so Rango ends up fighting Mai, and they have this whole big misunderstanding because Rango thinks Mai is trying to steal Anga, and like they fight and whatnot, and it's a big hoopla about that, you know. But anyways, on to the third episode, you know, we'll go from there.
And so one of the other things with that too, like, you could kind of tell a difference, like, even though like Mai was there, like Mai and what's her face were still kind of connected, so it's two minds in one kind of sort of, yeah. You know, and with Rango it seemed like full possession, you know.
Yeah, it was full possession, and like I think Nami didn't even know what happened, if I remember correctly. But then
yeah, she didn't even know that the Fire Nation attacked.
And like she was always also like a big conspiracy theorist too. Like she believed in like UFOs and whatnot. And like Rango ends up sticking around, but she's like chibi-fied, kinda like Ango is. And there's some weird sexual tension between Ango and Rango. Like there's one time where I was like, are they gonna like fuck? Cause it looked like she was DTF at one point.
Oh Jesus.
You know, and I was like, okay, like what's the innuendo going on here, you know, because her flower like died, like does that mean she like needs the D? Is that what we're saying? She needs Ango's D?
No, he killed her flower.
Oh, he killed her flower. Okay.
He said yeah, behind the scenes I was killing it.
Anyways, moving on to episode three, the last episode. Natsumi's father ends up completing his museum exposition type thing, you know, and they end up going to see it, and Ango ends up seeing this symbol on a banner, and he ends up hearing this big like voice, this evil voice sounding thing, and he ends up coming out and turning into like this giant. It's like if Godzilla like fucked Chewbacca, I feel like, because it was like a hairy Godzilla.
I think it's like a giant like a giant mole or something,
maybe. Yeah. And this is Ango. It's like his true form or whatever it is. I can't remember exactly what it was. But he ends up having like a kaiju attack. And things are going really bad. And I don't even remember how it happens. Because honestly, I started falling asleep on the third episode. And I woke up and I was like, why is Mai fighting Ango? And she's like, ginormous.
Yeah.
Can you fill in that blank for me?
Then we had her do the pervy dance.
She did the pervy dance, yeah.
She did the pervy dance, and then she had to, I think, break the skulls or something.
Uh-huh.
There was something that she had to, like, one of the items, and it ended up giving her power and making her huge.
She was like ginormous.
Yeah. And then she didn't fight him, and she ended up just basically like giving him a hug.
She gave him a hug and she like smothered his face in her giant titties. And he was like, oh, I like boobs. Boobs are good. See, that's why I say boobs save the day
It was also because what's his face? Her neighbor was in there as well.
Oh, he was. Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, Ango, even though he's in there, like, the demon part of him was like, oh, we got to kill the world. Da, 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 da. And he's like, no, not for a pair of boobs. For a pair of boobs, you have to stop. We can't do that.
Yeah.
So
that part was pretty funny, seeing it have like the two halves of him like at war, you know, one's yeah. destroying, one's like, I love boobs type of thing, you know.
Yeah, of course.
I thought it was funny that all the men got nosebleeds.
Yeah, that's pretty funny because they all saw the boob. Well, and then Kaiju Ongo ended up shooting like a laser beam weapon and ended up like hitting the top.
Yeah, it
just that Mai was wearing, and it just the side of it disintegrated, and it basically like flew off.
Yeah,
so everybody's like seeing her boobs, and then she stuck the creature's face in her boobs, and
she was like, "It's okay, we don't have to fight. Let's just, you know, put your face deep in my boobies."
And then they turn back to normal. Yeah. And the boy's face is still in the boobs. And her and Ongo had like a full blown conversation about all the stuff that was going on. And only part out of all that I was a little confused about was the dad kind of made it seem like he knew that there was a trick to that. And that he knew, like, my daughter's strong enough to do this. And I'm like, if you knew your daughter was going to turn into this busty goddess.
I definitely feel like this might have been, like, a proof of concept anime. Like, hey, here's a pilot. Let's see if we can get this going to an actual TV show. I kind of feel like. Because there are drama CDs after this that continue on the story. There's like three drama CDs.
Oh, yeah.
Which, yeah. One of them's kind of funny because it's like story two. After walking in on her mother and father making love, Natsumi goes on an odyssey throughout the city. That's what it says. And I'm like, okay, interesting.
What the hell?
Yeah. So, like, obviously there was more to the story. There's not, like, a manga attached to this, so I wonder if this was, like, an original anime story type of thing. And they were like, hey, let's put this out and see if we can get this going, possibly. And I don't think it really took off the way they wanted it to. So, let me ask you, as a whole, what did you think of this anime?
It was fractured but whole.
Fractured but whole? How so?
I don't know. I think they just kind of like did everything really fast for it to be three episodes.
Yeah.
Because like how they ended it, it almost seemed like she would be like done. Uh-huh. Like with the stones and everything and transforming.
Yeah.
Course, but then like Ongo's still there, so
yeah,
I don't know, it kind of seemed like a really like smutty Sailor Moon almost.
That's kind of funny. I didn't hate this anime. I don't know if I would ever watch it again. If somebody was like, hey, what's the weirdest thing you've seen and you want to recommend it, I might throw this in there to be like, hey, check this weird shit out. Because it was like,
talking about, I'm sure you'll watch this with someone near and dear to you again.
No, I don't think I'm going to be watching this again. I've got to be honest. But if anybody was like, hey, what's the weirdest thing you ever seen? I would put this in there with like Bludgeoning Angel Dokro-chan. You know, like that's weird. And this is weird too. Like go watch this type of thing. You know, it's not bad. Like I wasn't bored. I wasn't like bored watching it. I thought every time the dance showed up, like it was just awkward, but I laughed. Like there were parts of this show where I laughed because I thought it was kind of funny.
Yeah.
But there's some jokes that I don't feel that landed. A lot of it has to do with Rongo and like what Rongo was doing. I didn't really care about Rongo and whatnot. Yeah. You know, but I do kind of feel like this anime, like you said, was rushed towards the end. Like I feel like it might have needed like better planning within the third episode. Because it did rush quite a bit.
I mean, I felt like it was rushed the whole time.
You did?
Yeah. Especially because whenever you looked at the episode names, they were always one of the characters' names.
Yeah, it was like Ongo, Rongo, and Mai. I believe is what it was.
So, I mean, you know, you kind of know, like, because they couldn't really put anything to it, like Attack of the Whale or, you know, anything random like that. Because it just wasn't, like, enough material there. But
I kind of feel like it was mid. It was mid-tier. You know, it wasn't too terrible. I don't think if you showed this to, like, somebody who was new, like a newer anime fan, I don't think they would really enjoy it. And they would probably try to cancel it. To be honest, I feel like they would get offended.
I have no idea.
I mean, that's how I feel like.
Maybe of a certain age, maybe.
Maybe of a certain age, you know. Like, because I feel like it was very out there and it's not, like, politically correct in some aspects. And I don't think a lot of the jokes would land with, like, Gen Z and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah,
because you know, but I mean, it's okay, you know. That's just my two cents. And anyways, Jen, you want to wrap up this episode?
That's how you get a pervy friend.
Yeah, exactly. Like Jen Gray.
That makes pervy suggestions to watch things.
Well, I mean, you get to suggest the next anime what we cover.
You gave me a list. I didn't think I was getting a vote till after that.
No, I mean, you can pick. I mean, go pick an anime off of Tubi. We have a bunch of anime to pick from. Just don't pick a really long one.
I'm gonna try and find an even. Well, I'm gonna try and play a game with you with this. I'm gonna try and find another like the next tier up, like pervy anime. I'm going to be like, all right, it's your turn. Can you beat me?
I have one that I'm thinking of, and I was like, I remember kind of watching this one a little bit, and I was like, I was creeped out about it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it's on Tubi.
What creeped you out about it?
There was a running gag where one of the characters would, like, pee herself.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
Mission accepted.
Anyways. Thank you for listening. If you have any suggestions, you can hit us up on our Instagram at Otakuology Podcast. We have a Facebook page.
Or on our YouTube channels.
Or on our YouTube channel, Otakuology Podcast. Email us at otakuologypodcast@gmail.com for any suggestions, concerns. Let us know how
on our regular YouTube channel
podcasts and our regular YouTube channels as well.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Hope you guys and gals enjoyed this episode, and we will catch you on the next podcast. Jen, what do we tell them?
See you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday.